Okay, so we're back with a huge shakeup in the world of wrestling. I mean, an earthquake actually hit, not John Tenta, but an actual earthquake. That was so weird. And I've seen so many people that was like from California was like, oh my God, like you guys get earthquakes too? We were like, we didn't know we get earthquakes. What are you talking about? It was funny.
Shit. And we actually got two because we got the aftershock.
Yeah, the aftershock came hours later and it was very weird. It was like, okay, this is weird. Like, aftershocks usually come like 1 hour later. This is like probably like 10 hours later. It's like, hey, look, more. You're like, okay, sure, whatever.
Initial one came around like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning or so, correct? Like it was early shit. Then the second one came around, I want to say around 5 p.m.
It was like 5 or 6. It was like, this is way later. It was like, it should have been over. I was like, whatever. It gives a shit. But yeah,
Yeah.
it fucked a
I'm
lot
like,
of people up.
what
Yeah, everybody was like, what the
the
fuck? Like, you guys get earthquakes? Like, we didn't know, but fuck it, whatever. It was crazy. So,
Yeah.
with that being said, we have a hell of a lot to get to because we didn't even get to WrestleMania yet. So, we have a lot to cover.
About that.
So,
Jesus, yes.
we're gonna start off with Rampage, and Rampage was a thing. Like there was, like the funny part about Rampage, it was like stuff happened on Rampage, but none of it connected to anything, and it was like, oh, it just was there, because the first match was Malakai Black versus Christopher Daniels, and I'm expecting them to say, oh, yeah, about the Edge situation, and it's like, yeah, he's like he came out and challenged Edge, but you know, nothing to it. The fuck do you mean nothing
Yeah, like
to it?
Rampage is like a void and whatever, where like shit, it just doesn't exist.
Yeah, and
Shit
it
would
was like,
happen on other shows and like just there.
it's just so fucking random. And like, they turned it into a fucking six man. It's like, yeah, it's like, yeah, he wanted to challenge Adam, but it's like, you know, six man instead of just that. It's like, okay. It was so fucking like it was just so annoying. Cause like I thought like, oh, we're gonna progress the story and say why they turned it into a six man. No, we're not even gonna say anything and he's gonna kill Christopher Daniels in like 2 minutes. I was like, the fuck is going on?
If
Yeah, I was like, it was just so like it was just a little bit annoying. I was like, why is this even happening? And then something else happened
yeah.
later on that was connected to that, and I was more confused. I was like, what? So then we had Roderick Strong versus a local dude whose name was like London something because they was in London, Ontario. And like he was like, why would your parents name you after a crappy town? I was like, okay. Like, he was dumb. And
Did he do a
then
thing by London, I guess?
I guess, but he beat the guy and he like made him tap out and it was like, oh, okay. And Wardlow is back with them. And then legit Layla Hirsch showed up. She was like, yo, in a backstage interview, she was like, yo, I want to take on Julia Hart next week in a match where no rules. And it was like, okay. She was like, no house rules. I was like, okay, that's weird. And then we went to Serena Deeb versus what is her name? Trisha Dora. Like she fought Trisha Dora. And it was a really like it was a really good match, but like nothing got accomplished. And then it went back to Julia Hart, and Julia Hart goes, "You know what, Layla Hirsch? Because you asked me for a match next week, I'm going to give you that match for the TNT title." I'm like, "What?" I was like, "Okay, cool, whatever." And then here we go with this bullshit again, this fucking dumbass bullshit with Saraya, her brother, and Harley Cameron. And then she's like, "Yeah, I'm going to fight." He's like, I'm gonna fight you next week. I'm like, I don't give a shit. I don't care. So that was that.
Like,
Then we,
just kill it.
yeah, I wanted to die. And then we had a four-way. Like they didn't explain the rules at all. They didn't explain the rules for this four-way at all. They didn't say what it was. Cause like first Daniel Garcia came out, then Brian Keith came out. So I was like, oh, it's gonna be a one-on-one. Then Commander came out. I was like, oh, so it's gonna be a tag team match. Then Action Andretti came out. So it was like, okay, it's definitely a tag match. Then, like, Dave was like, no, this is a four-way. And then Commander pins Brian Keith. I'm like, okay, so the match is over. And they're like, no, Brian Keith's out of here. I was like, what? And then Action Andretti gets pinned. I was like, what? I was like, I was not Action Andretti. I meant to say Commander. Commander gets pinned. And then it's just Action Andretti and Daniel Garcia. But Daniel Garcia taps him out and wins. And I was like, they didn't explain any of this. Like, it was just so random. It didn't, nothing was explained. It was like, okay, sure. It was so weird. Like, everything about this Rampage show was so weird. So weird.
I'm not surprised when it comes to Rampage anymore.
Yeah, so after that, like, since we're staying on the AEW side, we went to Ring of Honor. And this show, they, like, I don't know if it just, like, got totally lost in the whole WrestleMania season and everything going on, that it was just, like, so, like, I didn't know what time it came on. Like, I knew the main show came on at 8 o'clock. They didn't say that 2 hours before was the pre-show, was 0 hour. They didn't say any of that shit. Like, I just saw somebody talking about it. It was like, yo, Ring of Honor 0 hours on. I'm like, what? Yeah, 0 hours on right now. I was like, oh, shit. So I clicked on, and by the time I clicked on, they were all like, the first match was like damn near over. So I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, all right, sure, whatever. And it wasn't, the funny part is, like, they said this was the first match, but it wasn't the first match, because Tony Nese and Ari Daivari and Josh Woods, they had a match against Rhett Titus and Tony Deppen. That wasn't even explained that was the first match, because that was the match before the match I came in on, and it just was there. And I was like, okay. And, like, literally, when I came in, it was Blake Christensen versus Bestia Mortos, which is Black Taurus. And they're having a match. This match was fucking awesome. And after the match, like, Black Taurus wins, and Commander and the dude who says Penta says came out, and they were looking at him, basically trying to recruit him. And Ian Riccaboni just, like, clearly playing his day, goes, guys, you should be strapped in for this, because this is the first match. Like, all the matches later on are going to be great. And I'm like, all right, cool. I didn't miss anything, but I totally missed the other match before this. And so
they kind of, like, fooled you with that shit.
Yeah, because I was like, I swear this was the first match. And then we had Maria Kanellis' guys, Griff Garrison and Dimes Two Stacks, versus Angelico and Serpentico. And the match is because they stole Serpentico's mask, and supposedly his mask, like, made him better as a wrestler, and they lost. Like, Serpentico and Angelico lost. I was like, oh, cool. This match, like, I lied to you, not. I'm not even going to sit there and bullshit you. This match was complete garbage. It was complete garbage. I was like, okay, whatever.
It's really the only storyline I know from Ring of Honor going on right now.
There's a few, because they did do a good job of filling people in, but there was a few.
Yeah.
And then another one on the 0 hour was Mariah May versus Momo Kogo from Stardom. And of course this was a great match, because this is Mariah May's style. She was like, she's from Stardom, like, she's been in Stardom for a while. And this match was fucking awesome, and Mariah May won. So, like, I'm not even joking. There's, like, this is how, like, everything was just, like, weirdly out of sync with, like, everything on Ring of Honor. Because, like, literally Ian Riccaboni just goes, okay, yeah, like, you guys just saw the women of Stardom. We're going to have the opening match, the six-woman Stardom match. And then the show starts, and he goes, well, they changed the order, because the first match is Kyle Fletcher versus Swagger Lee Johnson. And I was like, well, why did they make you say that? Like, that's what I was saying. Like, why did they make him say that? And then they were like, no, we switched the order. So for the Kyle Fletcher Swagger Lee Johnson match, the whole thing is Lee Johnson has been trying to show him that he is better wrestler than him. And over the last couple of weeks, Lee Johnson has been getting the better of him, which made Kyle Fletcher go, all right, I'm going to put the title on the line. He's like, I'm going to beat you and put the title on the line. So this match, I lied to you not, I started it and was like, okay, this match is going to totally fucking suck. Dude, this match fucking ruled. This match was so fucking good. I was like, okay, first off, both, like, I know Kyle Fletcher can go. I didn't know Lee Johnson, like, could keep up with him. And they just was going. They got it. Yeah, and then, like, he was, like, it was, like, twice that he was so close to winning that fucking title. It literally, the hand was, like, right down. I was like, he's going to win the title. And Kyle Fletcher kicked out. I was like, oh, my God, this is so good. And Kyle Fletcher wound up hitting, like, he hit him with his finishing move, which was the Tombstone Piledriver. And he's pinning Lee Johnson. One, two, and you're like, yeah, this is his finishing move. There's no way he's kicking out. He kicked out. I was like, okay, this is great. And then, like, Kyle Fletcher had to hit him with, like, a myriad of moves, and then he finally put him down. One, two, three, Kyle Fletcher keeps the title. I was like, yeah, this was good. Like, this was really good. So
when you're able to, like, do a fucking match and, like, not have the finish as the finish, those are pretty good in my opinion.
Yes. And then we had the Stardom Six woman, which was Mesa Rare, Mina Shirakawa, who was it? Micah versus Tom Nakano, Sai Kamatani, and Azumi. So they had this match, and Mina Shirakawa, she picked up the win because they already teased something with her in the Stardom show earlier this week with her and Tony. So after the match, they're celebrating, and Mina Shirakawa is standing there. And then all of a sudden, here comes Mariah May. And Mariah May comes in, and she just looks at her in her face. And she's like, got this mean look. And I'm like, oh, she's going to hit her. And then she just hugs her. And then all of a sudden, I don't know where the fuck this bottle came from, but Mariah May just pulls out a bottle of champagne and not even two glasses. She pulls out four glasses. She gave the two to the other girls, and her and Mina poured alcohol, and they just, like, drunk it and then just left the other two girls. And it's like, they're a team. Like, I know that Mina and Mariah May were, like, a team before this. Like, they were part of, like, Club Venus. But, like, this new Club Venus also has a team. And the other girls was like, what the fuck? You just left us? And, like, I know this is going to start a whole thing with her and Tony. Because a backstage thing right after that was Mina and Mariah May, and they were talking, and Mina was like, I'm so glad to see you. And she just kissed her. And I was like, yep, that's it. That's how it starts. Because now Toni Storm is going to be pissed off that Mina is trying to steal back Mariah May. So that's going to be the reason she puts the title on the line at Forbidden Door. I was like, got it. That's it. It's like, perfect.
And they're also going to fight over her.
Yes. I was like, yep, that's it. So then we went to the Undisputed Kingdom versus the Infantry. And this match was for the Ring of Honor tag titles. And I'm like, all right, cool. And then all of a sudden, it just, like, turned into this, like, extra wild-ass match where they brought out a table and fucking Charlie Bravo jumped on Matt Taven and threw the table. And while the ref is checking on Matt Taven, first off, I'm like, I didn't know this was a no DQ match, but you fucked me up. So while he's checking on Matt Taven, all of a sudden, out of fucking nowhere, here comes Wardlow, and Wardlow, bam, just hits Sean Dean, and of course, Undisputed Kingdom get the win. I was like, oh, fuck, whatever, fuck it. So then we had a match that I have to give both of these women the praise of a lifetime, one in specific, and I'm going to tell you why. But I have to give both of them fucking Queen Aminata and Billie Starks tore the fucking house down. Oh my God, this match was so good. Like, this match, this was my match of the night, especially because of the fucking finish. Because it was so good. Like, they were throwing everything at each other, and Queen Aminata was fucking trying to kill Billy Stark. She was trying to kill her, and Billy just kept kicking out, and Billy would come back and then try to kill her, and it was just so fucking good. And then the finish came when Queen Aminata is on the floor and Billy goes for her patented swanton. And Billy goes for the swanton and she, Queen Aminata puts her knees up and all of a sudden, Billy Stark is hurt. She's holding her neck and she can't move and they call the doctors in and they're trying to, they cut away, they literally cut away and looking at the fucking announcers, Queen Aminata's breaking down. She's literally crying. It's just like, oh my God, like, I'm so hurt. I'm like, oh fuck. Like, she's like, Billy Stark's and like, he's like, this is so sad. And they're trying to get her out the ring. And Queen Aminata is holding the ropes. Billy Stark has this neck brace on. And they're trying and she's barely moving. And then all of a sudden, Billy Stark just rolls up Queen Aminata, 1, 2, 3, and she's the new television champion. I was fucking screaming. Dude. It was so fucking great. It was so great. It was so great. She performed a fucking masterclass. Like, this 19-year-old girl, she's fucking 19. She's 19, performed a masterclass. I swear to God, everybody in the building, the announcers, even the ref, thought she was done. Oh my God, she performed a masterclass. And one, and then she took off the neck brace and started celebrating and jumping up and down with the title. She's the first ever women's television champion. I was like, she deserves everything. Like, Billy Starks deserves everything. She is great. She's great.
Yeah, because on paper, I had my money on the Queen.
I did too, but it was so good. So then we had an impromptu thing. And I know, like, this is perfect because, like, they are the Ring of Honor trio champions. So, all of a sudden, Bullet Club comes up. Bullet Club Gold, they come out. And they're like, oh, wow, they're here. And they're just like, you know what? Fuck it, we're going to do an open challenge. And it's like, okay. And then Lance Archer shows up. And Lance Archer shows up with Alex Zane. And he's been teaming with Alex Zane in Japan, like, every time he goes over. And him and Alex Zane, they called Monster Sauce because Alex Zane is called the Sauce God. So they're Monster Sauce when they're together. So it was the two of them, and Jay White goes, okay, yeah, it's the two of you, but you need a third. And then he was like, oh, no, we have a third. And, of course, soon as he stood there and said, we have a third, I knew exactly what it was. I was like, it's Suzuki. And yep, it was Suzuki. He showed up and it was a 6-man match. It was a really good match. But of course, Alex Zane got beat and Jay White kept the titles. So I was like, all right, cool. That was cool. And
awesome.
Then we had a fight with Honor or without Honor. I don't even remember what it was called. It was Dalton Castle versus Johnny TV. And Dalton Castle had a bunch of other boys because his boys got released. And so I'm going to break this down. Just like, I'm not even going to go into everything that was said, but I'm going to break it down into like the dummy cliff notes for everybody. So one of the Tate twins, which are the boys, posted on Twitter because he didn't like his reputation being sullied by Tony Khan saying, oh, we fired you because you missed a lot of dates. He said, no, you guys told me you were firing me because of budget cuts. Okay, well, I'm going to show the proof of how, like, this didn't happen. So he started posting receipts. Like, he literally started posting text messages between him and the travel coordinator. And one of the dates, was they wanted him to fly out, him and his brother to fly out to Canada. But he had to drive 3 hours from where they live to Knoxville. And he's like, dude, we can't do that. He was like, we can't do that. We're not going to drive 3 hours there. Could you get us a flight here? The person was like, yo, I'll check on that and see if I can get you travel. So a couple days went by. They didn't get any travel, blah, blah, blah. And it just was basically a lot of miscommunication and a lot of things going back and forth. Like, to be honest, both sides are to blame for this whole entire thing. But, like, mostly the AEW side. I know people are blaming, like, I see a lot of people that's blaming the boys. They're like, oh, well, you guys could have drove 3 hours to Knoxville. That's besides the point. Like, yeah, they could have done it, but also it could have been better communication. I feel like it could have been better communications. That's how I feel. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, like, they could have drove, but they didn't really want to. And even they explained it later on in the text messages, like, dude, Final Four is coming up, and also St. Patrick's Day. Knoxville is going to be fucking swamped because the Final Four, like, one of the teams is in Knoxville. It's going to be swamped, so could you change us? And, like, it was just a lot of back and forth miscommunication and stuff, and it's like, yeah, I kind of see where this whole thing fell apart. So, yeah, it's like, but I still stand with the Tate twins. Like, I still feel like they were wrong, but I know people be like, oh, well, you're still the AEW hater. No, I just stand with the actual wrestlers, but okay. And Dalton Castle did beat Johnny TV for no reason, so that was a thing.
I don't know why I thought you were going to say he beat him for a title. I'm like, what fucking title?
No. So then we had Athena versus Sheeta. And, of course, this match was good. And it was like, it lived up to the expectations. And it was like, at one point, Sheeta, like, hit the katana or whatever she calls her finish. She hit it on Athena. Okay. And it was like, oh, she's going to lose. Like, she's going to lose. But Athena kicked out. And she wound up getting the win. But this match was good. But the next match was the match that I was like, okay, this is what I want to see, and I hope they go with the right thing. Because it's been 11 years since Jay Briscoe won the world title, the Ring of Honor world title. So Mark Briscoe was in the main event against Eddie Kingston, and they gave Mark Briscoe the original Briscoe's music, the one before Reach for the Sky Boys. I think it was Def Leppard. I don't even remember the band, but it was another band. They gave him the original, and they even gave him the original Titantron when he came out. So it was like, okay, yeah, this is going to be great. So they had a match, like, Mark got busted open, and Mark hits the driver. He's a DVD, and then he goes up for the froggy bow, and you're like, it's over. He's like, it's over. 1, 2, Eddie kicks out. Like, oh, shit. So Eddie just starts coming back, and Eddie hits the back fist. And it's like, oh, shit, he's going to beat Mark. 1, 2, and Mark kicks out. So at this point, it's like Mark has hit him with every fucking thing in the world. There's no way he's beating Eddie. And then Mark did it. Mark pulled out the J Driller. Bow! Hits it. 1, 2, 3. Pins Eddie Kingston. Wins the fucking title. A bloody mess. Mark Briscoe wins the world title. It was great.
That's like a happy ending you barely see in wrestling anymore. So that's awesome.
Yeah, and like everybody came running out, like the whole entire back like cleared out. Everybody came running out. It was so good. Like, it was one of those real emotional moments where you're like, oh, this is it. This is it. It was so good. But yeah, that was a thing. So that was the Ring of Honor show. So we have a New Japan show, Sakura Genesis, and I'm not going to run down the whole entire card. I'm just going to run down the title matches because those are the matches that mean things. And so we have Kevin Knight and Kushida against Drilla Maloney and Carl Connors versus Francisco Akira and TJP for the junior tag titles. And it's a three-way, which is like a very rare three-way, and I'm putting my money on Kevin Knight and Kushida. I don't know why, but I feel like they're gonna win the titles, and I feel like they need to freshen up the junior scene, and having the titles on Kevin Knight and Kushida freshens it up from Catch 2-2 and the War Dogs. Like, they keep fighting, and they've been fighting for like over 6 months, and for a new change of a new champion, it will be like, yeah, no, this is great. Like, it won't be the same bullshit over and over again. I'm cool with that.
Cool.
So then we had the IWGP Tag Championships, which is Yoshihashi and Goto versus the champions Chase Owens and Kenta. I want Chase Owens and Kenta to lose, but I feel like they're going to keep the titles on them for no fucking apparent reason. I want them to lose, but like, they're going to keep the titles on for no reason. And I think Bishamon should win, but, you know, I don't have a say in this, but I really think they should win. So then we have the junior title match, which is Sho versus Yo, which is a long-standing rivalry that has been going on for probably, about 4 years? Yeah, it's been going on for 4 years. And at this time, finally, Yo is actually looking strong enough to be a contender for Sho. Because Sho is just like, he's, even though he hasn't been champion for long, he's just been dominant because he's been with fucking House of Torture, and he at least looked like a fucking star. Even though he's a shitty star, he looks like a star. I think he was a better star before he went with fucking House of Torture, because he was fucking great just by himself when they first broke up. And he was like, hey, I'm really good. And then he's just like, no, I'm going with House of Torture, and I'm going to suck now. Like, so I hope they bring the old Yo, old Sho back, so he can face this Yo, and it would be a great fucking clash of the two tag team that's been the team forever, and they finally get this battle, and it'd be great. I hope so. So that's where I'm going with that. Then we have a special tag match. It's Shota Umino and his daddy, John Moxley, versus Jack Perry and Rin Narita. I'm to be honest, I have no idea who's gonna win this, and I actually have no idea like where this goes, because I know Moxley may be facing Naito for the world title if Naito keeps it, but also I don't want that at all. But I don't know where it's probably like Moxley is probably gonna win, but I do not want him to win the world title, which everybody's like, he should win the world title. It would do so much for New Japan. And it's like, no, it would do the exact opposite for New Japan. But hey, you people just want to keep praising and saying that it would fix New Japan, when New Japan should just fix itself instead of getting help from outside sources that are not really trying to fix it. But that's, I'm going to move on. So then we have Shingo Takagi versus Evil. And Evil is the never open weight champion, and Shingo Takagi should beat him so we can end this House of Torture running shit and move on. That's it. So, yeah. So the last but not least, we have the world title match, and it's Naito versus Yota Tsuji. And Yota Tsuji, he's the new young up-and-coming guy, but him and Naito are in the same stable. I want them to go radically different and do it and pull the fucking trigger and let Tsuji win. Like, he should have won against fucking Sonata, like when they fought in June. He should have won. It should have been over. We should not even be going through this. We should be like, all right, no, we don't even need to go through this. He should have fucking won. Now they have him against Naito. Let him win. Let him fucking win. And I know people will be like, oh, you're just saying that so Naito won't have to challenge Moxley for the title. That's not even it. It's just, it would be freshening up the whole entire New Japan after they lost everybody and everybody's gone. This would be a total refresh. And it's like, look, this is where we're going. this is our future. This is the guy we put a strap on. This is him. This is the guy. And it's like, that would be perfect. But knowing them, they're just going to be like, nah, fuck it. We're going to give it to Naito. Naito's going to keep the title. And then he's going to fight Jon Moxley and possibly lose it. And like, all right, well, fuck it. That's all I can say. It's like, fuck it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is Sakura Genesis, which will be going on this weekend. So now we move over to WWE land. And this whole entire day has just been like really fun because like a lot of people have just been bumping into each other. They've been having a lot of fun and talking and saying things. And then we had Triple H on the Pat McAfee show. He took a subliminal shot at Will Ospreay. And I know people are like, no, it was a complete shot at Will Ospreay. Because he said, guys that don't want to come to WWE, they don't want to put in the work and they don't want to grind. And if you go somewhere else for a lesser schedule, I mean, that's fine. But here you come here to work and you come to get over and be a star. And he basically just shit on Ospreay and was like, all right. And people were like, oh, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Like, who would want to go to WWE to just work more and do this? And I'm like, yeah, you don't see that this is not like him saying, oh, you should do this and come over here and work more. This was him basically saying, I don't know how to admit defeat. So I'm just going to make up some dumb shit that makes no fucking sense and try to save face. It's like, no, you lost because you couldn't give him what he wants instead of just saying, oh, this is WWE. That's all you said to him. Oh, this is WWE. Instead of trying to work around him, you just said, oh, this is WWE. And this is just basically you admitting defeat and making up some bullshit. That's exactly what it was. It was like, yeah, I'm just going to make up some bullshit. I don't even know what to say, so I'm going to make up some bullshit. That was it. Like, call it what it is. Triple H made up some bullshit because he didn't know how to admit defeat. Like, yeah, I lost those guys. I lost out on everybody. Fuck it. It's some bullshit, all right? That's all he had to say. Because I've been like, yeah, you know what? You're right.
Yeah, he dropped the ball that he lost a lot of people that he could have got.
Yeah, and he was basically talking about other stuff with, like, how WrestleMania... He keeps saying this thing like, yeah, when this story ends, another one begins, or like this could be the continuation of a story. And he just like keeps alluding to like something feeling off. And I'm like, okay, I don't know why he keeps saying this, but like everything you keep saying feels off. Like it doesn't feel like what's like, cause he keeps banging this into everybody's head, no matter what you say, he keeps banging this in your head. That WrestleMania isn't the end, it's the new beginning. It's the end of the old and the new beginning. And it's like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? What is this new beginning that's coming?
Don't even get the slightest idea.
So then he went on Impulsive and basically said, yo, the draft is coming up sooner than later. And it'll happen sometime after WrestleMania, which, like, we already knew this was coming, so that was a thing. And then we had The Rock on Fox News, and Rock is talking about WrestleMania, and Rock just spits the biggest bullshit that I've ever heard. He said, yeah, I went to Triple H and was like, yeah, I got this idea for Cody. And this is the idea. He's going to win the Royal Rumble, and then I'm going to come in and make shit messy, and it's going to be so big, and it's going to make Cody a bigger star. And I'm just sitting there like, that's the biggest bunch of dog shit I've ever seen. That's nothing that you just said was real. Like, you just made up some bullshit to sell to people. It's like, no, this was always planned. What the fuck are you talking about?
It wasn't planned, but that's what happened. They actually made Cody a bigger star because of it, because they fucked up. Not because they planned it, because they fucked up.
and the funny part is, like, him saying that totally contradicts every fucking shit that he said before this, where he was like, Yeah, no, it was supposed to be me and Roman, and Cody had nothing to do with this. Like, you literally were saying that for, like, months, and now all of a sudden, like, no, all this was planned. Like, fuck you. Like, this was all planned. Fuck you. I was like, no, none of this was planned. Like, oh, my God. It was it was so irritating. So,
yeah,
we had an interview with Cody on the Pat McAfee show, and he was basically talking about how he's going to finish his story and, like, how all of this came together and his bus caught on fire the night before. I was like, oh, shit. Like, that's crazy. And then Michael Cole cuts a promo basically saying, well, Rock just came in here and just stole all of this shit and just, like, fuck with this. Like, because he's on the board, he thinks he can do whatever he wants. He was like, nah, fuck that. I'm like, Michael Cole, what are you doing? Michael Cole was just wild. And then
he called him a dick rider. I'm on his side.
I mean, yeah. So then Rhea comes in. Rhea is talking. And so Pat McAfee asked her, where would Dom be without her? And she was like, he would be nothing without me. He was like, yeah, he'd probably be doing, like, in another company, doing a show in front of 600 people. And, like, I was like, that's fucked up. And it was, like, mostly triple fucked up because, like, one, you're taking a shot at AEW. Two, you're basically saying Dom ain't shit. And three, Buddy works for the fucking AEW, and that's Rhea's fiance. That was fucked up.
I didn't think about that last one. Oh, shit.
Yeah, that was fucked up. And then they had, like, the kickoff. They had the kickoff for the WWE thing, and it was, like, it was basically the same bullshit they had for, like, the one in Australia. It was fun because, like, lying to you, not everybody that came out there except for Rhea and Becky had a connection to Philly. Like, everybody that came out there, like, Sami Zayn had a connection to Philly, Gunther had a connection to Philly, Tyler Black had a connection to Philly, and yes, they literally start chanting Tyler Black when Seth Rollins was out there. They just start chanting Tyler Black. Shit. It was so weird. Like, Gunther was like, yeah, I had my first match when I came to America. Drew even said, like, he had, like, a big match in Philly. And CM Punk came out and was like, yeah, like, I used to live in Philly. Like, everybody that was, like, there, the Usos even said something about, like, they won. Like, they're, like, one of their biggest matches before the WrestleMania matches was in Philly, the Money in the Bank. And I was like, dude, like, everybody had a connection except for Becky and Rhea. Like, they didn't have shit connected to Philly, but everybody had, like, a connection to Philly. And Triple H came out and cut a promo, and he was like, yeah, everybody's been talking about the Attitude Era and, like, the Ruthless Aggression Era. He was like, none of that matters. He was like, none of that matters. And he was like, if I was there back then and knew all of this stuff back, what I'm going to do now and everything that's happening now, none of that matters. He was like, this era is going to eclipse that by miles. And I'm like, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So then SmackDown comes on, and it starts with the Meek Mill intro. And I was kind of, like, fucked up about it because I was like, shouldn't they save this to WrestleMania? Because, like, it was, like, the perfect intro for WrestleMania. And I'm like, why the fuck was this the first thing that they showed? Like, this is weird. So, yeah. So, then we had the KO show. It started off the show. Kevin Owens comes out, and he says that he looks up to Randy, and he's just so happy to get to wrestle Randy and hang out with him. And he brought him out, and they were talking. And then all of a sudden, Logan Paul shows up on the screen, and he's at the Link across the street, and he's there and he's talking shit, and Kevin and Randy said, you know what, we could go over there and kick his ass. So they leave, and then all of a sudden Waller and Theory come up from under the ring. They just pop up from under the ring and they chase them. I'm like, okay, they're gonna catch him, right? And then Kevin Owens and Orton get in a fucking golf cart, and they're going to drive across the street. And Theory and Waller are fucking running behind them. I'm like, okay, this is going to end weird. And we get to the fucking payoff later on that still makes no goddamn sense to me. But okay.
How?
Like, yeah, how? Like,
but yeah.
I need an explanation. So then we have the fucking Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And so people are immediately like, Omos is going to win. Omos gets almost eliminated immediately. And then it comes down to the big men slapping meat, because it was Ivar and Bronson Reed. And Bronson Reed throws Ivar off and he gets the win. So, yeah.
That shit was fucking awesome.
Yes.
At one point, he did a fucking, what the hell is that shit? Rolling Thunder.
Yes.
Down to like, RVD.
Like, that fucking popped me.
Yeah.
So, then we have Logan Paul coming out. And Logan Paul comes out and was like, yeah, those idiots, they went over there. And he starts talking shit about Philly. He calls it South Jersey. And he's like, yeah, fuck you guys, whatever. And then on the Titantron comes up, and Darian and Waller are in the link, and they're standing there, and they're looking for Orton and Owens. It's like, they're not here. We don't know where they are. And then Orton and Owens pop up from under the ring and beat the shit out of Logan Paul.
It was funny because they were trying to warn him too. Like, Kevin's there. Kevin's there.
Yep. So then we have the beatdown of Dragon Lee, and Dragon Lee's injured, and Carlito finds him, and he's like, guys, he's been injured. He's got his ass beat. And the music,
you know,
hits,
did it, right?
Yeah. The music hits, and Zelina Vega comes out, and she's coming out with Ray. And then Santos Escobar, Dominic, and Andrade come out together. And I was like, huh. Because part of me was like, I went in two minds, because I went in the mind of the way it was going to go, and I also went in the mind of a way it could have went. So,
yeah.
Electra Lopez takes on Zelina Vega, and Zelina gets the win. Did Zelina get the win or Electra got the win? I think Zelina got the win.
No, Electra got the win.
Oh, Electra got the win. So Electra wins,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, it just starts with this fight, and I don't know why the fuck they did this, because this was fucking stupid. So Santos and Dom are beating down Ray. And they keep fucking pushing and slapping Andrade to get in the fight. And like the second time, like they fucking was like, get over here and help. And Andrade was like, dog, you ripped my shirt. Fuck you. And he just beat the shit. Like he beat the shit out of Santos and Dom. And he helped Zelina up and she jumped in his arms because she missed him because she is his sister, and she misses him, and she's been waiting for him, and they're back together, and yeah, now he's with Bray.
That's awesome. I kind of thought he would have a fucking LW shirt under his, like, fancy shirt for some reason.
I didn't, but, like, my other mind was he was going to still team up with Dom and him, and then, like, LWO was going to get a third person. That was my other theory. But it didn't pan out that way because now he joined the LWO and he helped them out against Legado del Fantasma. I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah,
I wasn't so mad at that. And then we had Naomi and Bianca. They came out and they were basically cutting a promo. And them two together, I don't know what it is, but their energy together is just like unmatched. It's like I can just watch them just talk all day, and it's like, yeah, they're fucking awesome. Like, I don't know what it was, but
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, to me, the both of them together, it's like Willow, like just that an infectious happiness. And whatever, like, you feel, they really, like, love each other and all that. Like, I liked it.
Yes, it was like, it just was.
Made me instantly happy.
Yeah, it just like was radiating off the screen, and it was just so good because they just felt so, they just felt so happy to be with each other. And then they called out Jade, and like Jade came in, and like Jade just has like this presence of like, oh, I'm a superhero and I'm there. And then like, you're just like, yeah, I'm just like this. And 5 seconds into being with them, she immediately just felt like, she just like immediately just melted into them. And it was like, oh, so it's just more happiness together. Okay, cool. Yeah. And it was so funny because Jade was about to say her line and Bianca had to stop and was like, wait, you can't do that here. That was so funny.
She's like, my bad. Let me start over.
It was so good. They just felt so good. And they all was wearing Cowboy Carter gear. And I know you're like, what is that? That's basically Beyonce's whole new country thing. So they just had it on and they just like, they looked amazing. I swear to God, like, this is one of the funnest things about Jade and Naomi and Bianca. They never stay in the one section that you're like, oh, they're going to be here. Because you're like, oh, they're, like, the wrestling fans are going to love it and the wrestling fans are going to do this. Dude, I've seen people outside of wrestling go, oh my God, who are they? They are fucking awesome. Like, I've seen the rap community gravitate to them. I've seen the football community gravitate to them. I've seen the best. I've seen everybody. I've seen mainstream people just like go, who are they? Like, who are they? This is wrestling? I'm going to watch this. Like, I have a friend that she does cosplay. Like, she just does cosplay. Like, she has nothing to do with wrestling. She doesn't even give a fuck. She just does cosplay, and like, this is her thing. Like, she loves it, and like, she games a little bit, but she's like, none of that. She saw them, and she was like, who the fuck is, she was like, who the fuck are they? Like, they are so awesome. Oh my God, who are they? I'm like, they're wrestlers. Oh my God, like the wrestling that's going on, like, down in Philly right now? Yeah. Like, oh my God, like, they're so awesome. I'm like, okay, all right. It's like, it just, they have totally, completely left the audience. They have left our target audience and are just like mainstream now. I was like, okay, not even mad. I'm like, this is perfect. And it just goes back to what Jay said at the WWE Worlds today. She was like, I made the right move by waiting. She was like, being here, she was like, being here for even like 5 minutes. She said, it felt so different. She was like, it feels so different. It feels like I'm on a whole nother planet. She's like, it's just, she's like, I don't even know how to explain it. She was like, but this was the right move. She was like, I feel, she was like, this feels like home. I'm like, okay. So
that's awesome.
Then we go to the back and the referee comes in and tells Rey and Andrade, they go, dude, Dragon Lee is fucked up. And Rey's like, dog, I got this WrestleMania match. What am I going to do? Andrade was like, I'll help you. And they shook hands. And just as they shook hands, Carlito Rezende was like, dude, did they tell you Dragon Lee's fucked up? So who's going to be your partner? He's like, Andrade's going to be my partner. He's like, oh, cool. And he just like patted Andrade on the back. I was like, all right. Like, you son of a bitch, you took out Dragon Lee. You fucker.
Yes. Yes. You see it too.
Yes. And I have a weird feeling he's going to fucking team up with Santos and Dom, and that's how they're going to get the win.
The funny part, I don't even see that. He's going to cost them the match. But I think, I don't think he likes Santos. Because remember, Santos like injured him recently. If they do that, that's stupid.
I mean,
he just injured him.
I know, but it would make sense to be like, yo, the enemy of my enemy is my friend type thing.
And yeah, true. I didn't think about that. Good point.
So, okay. So now what's been popping up lately, because like some people were like talking about the Sting retirement and like who could have this big retirement. And people were like, Ray could have this big retirement. Now, they go, oh my God, dude, You know what would be really good for Rey's last match? Rey versus Dominic, hair versus mask for Rey's last match. And I'm just like, that is a 2019 podcast that literally has been sitting here. Like, it's literally been sitting here in forever. That's one of our fucking things. That's how Rey gets out of here. We literally said that on one of the podcasts in 2019. Dude, that's what should happen. Rey and Dominic should have this match, and it should be hair versus mask, and that's how Rey gets out. That's literally our thing. It's like, dog, like, as soon as they said that, like, yeah, this should happen. I'm like, that's our thing.
We've had multiple conversations about that, like, before that, even off the podcast. Like, what the fuck?
Yes, and I was like, what the fuck? It's like, no, this is what should happen. I'm like, shut up. Like, this is our thing. Like, the only twist that they put on there was it should happen in Arena Mexico, like, the greatest Mexican building. Like, yeah, it should happen in Arena Mexico. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, like, because that would be the first time that, like, WWE has ever went to Arena Mexico. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? That would be cool. That would be cool.
The idea that you had is, like, Rey should, like, pass on his mask, mm-hmm. and he should be called mm-hmm. Prince Mysterio. Because for those of you that don't know, Rey is not Rey, like, the name. Rey is literally king. Like, that's why he has the crown on his mask. He's the king. He's the king of mystery. I think it says in one of his songs.
It is. And that would be so great, but like now everybody's like, that's how Rey should go out, that's how Rey should retire. I'm like, all right, whatever, fuck it, I don't care. Like, you just steal our jokes, whatever. Just, I don't care.
But they steal our shit late, though. That shit been happened.
I know. We're ahead of the curve. Like, we're way ahead of the curve all the time. So, yes. Then we get back, and it's Darian Waller versus the Brawling Brutes, or the Chekhov Republic, or whatever the hell they're called. I don't really care.
The Chekhov Republic? Oh, shit.
Like, then Judgment Day comes down and beats them up. And, like, if you watch this closely, you see the little funny things in here that you'd be like, okay, that's kind of like, if you know, you know. Because, like, they beat down the whole fucking team. And then all of a sudden at the end, after the beatdown, they're all standing there. And Rhea just goes over and she kicks Austin Theory and looks him in the face. And it's like, okay, that's the Australian thing. And then you look behind and you see Jordan Devlin just punch the shit out of fucking Tyler Bate. And you're like, this the UK thing. And then Finn goes over and just randomly, for no fucking reason, just starts stomping Pete Dunne and looking him right in the face. It's like, ah! It's like, dude, we know. Like, you dudes are doing this because you guys are fucking friends. And you're like, yay, we get to wrestle WrestleMania together.
The one spot that I love that I was like, what the fuck? You could do that? Fucking Dominic. He jumps over the guardrail, which I did not know he had the momentum to do that shit, and does a flying clothesline, and I don't know who he fucked up, but he fucked up somebody. I'm like, God damn, why can't you do that during a match?
I think it was Austin Theory.
It was Austin, you think? Okay.
Yes. So then we had this Paramore song over this whole Bailey introduction, and she basically went through her career and how she got here. And one of the things, like, they showed her with Sasha, and a lot of people was like, oh, this is crazy, this is weird, like, WWE let them do that. And I was like, so you guys have not been paying attention to anything WWE has done this whole entire day, because throughout the day when they were doing stuff, they literally was like, they have a WrestleMania, like, there's a WrestleMania promo video. In the WrestleMania promo video, they literally talk about Bryan Danielson. They say, like, and I think they actually fuck up and call him Bryan Danielson. Like, they was like, Bryan Danielson, and they say all of this stuff. They even show Mercedes. They show everybody. They show Edge. They show everyone that's in another company. And they don't go shy away and, like, go, oh, a quick cut, and they're just out. They literally go, Bryan Danielson at WrestleMania 30 did this thing, and it was a moment that the fans all came together. And it was like, okay. And then it was like Mercedes, and they didn't call her Mercedes, but they called Sasha Banks and Bianca were the first two black women to headline at WrestleMania. And I'm like, okay, so they're not shying away against nothing. They're like, they're also everything they're talking about. And this is great.
Another thing where, like, okay, you expect it from the commentators, wrestlers, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. They had Triple H, the boss. He's talking about, I forget what WrestleMania it was, but it was the one where he wore the crown and all that came out and fucking, like, throwing the three girls there. It was 30? Okay.
Yeah.
One was Charlotte Flair, one was Alexa Bliss, and one was Sasha Banks. And he said Sasha Banks. So, you know, man, even the boss said it. So.
Yeah, and it's like, there's like, they're not holding back. They're not acting like, oh, these people are gone and like we're erasing them from history. They're still part of history.
Yeah.
And so this video package for Damage Control, somebody like put it into perspective, and I was like, holy shit, this means more than just like this Damage Control thing, because they were like, guys, Triple H's first SummerSlam, when he first took over, the first people he introduced and he brought back was EO, Bailey, and Dakota. He brought back Damage Control. And this is like, this ending at WrestleMania is like, holy shit. Like, he brought them in, and now he ended it years later, which is like his creation at WrestleMania when he's taken over. I'm like, okay, this, all right. This is all right. I like this.
That's awesome.
So then we see Solo getting ready to take on Jey Uso. And they say it like, he's going to take on his little brother, and then tomorrow night he's going to face his big brother. And I'm like, they're like, first off, I'm not even going to, first off, dude, did you see the fucking video package? Did you see the video package for the Usos? The one for the Usos. I seen that video package and I was like, holy shit, this is great. Because it has both of them. It has Jimmy and Jay. They literally say their names. They both say their whole real government names. And they start talking about their whole lives, how they were brothers, how they were born 5 minutes apart. And they just go through this history of how they became who they are. And like, they're both talking and like, they're explaining everything from the beginning to now. And it was like, this video package was so fucking awesome. Like, I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh my God. And I have friends that are fucking complete WWE haters. Like, they're like, oh, we dislike everything outside of WWE. Fuck WWE. They saw this fucking video package and was like, okay, WWE does good things, and this is one of them. This is one of the good things that they really do. This right here. This was fucking awesome. Like, they literally was like, this fucking video package was great. It was like, I don't even like WWE. This video package was great. Because it blew my mind how fucking good it was, like, talking about two brothers having this whole entire thing. And it was like, wow. Like, this was great.
Fun fact, like, I found out today, they do a brother versus brother match every 15 years. First was Brett versus Owen, WrestleMania 10. Then it was Matt versus Jeff, WrestleMania 25, if my math is correct. Yep. And now 40.
And that was also one of the things that like blew my mind, because like, they're saying it at the kickoff and they just like totally just say Matt and Jeff. They don't even work here. Doesn't even matter. Matt and Jeff, they exist.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
All right. So back to SmackDown. They had LA Knight out there and he's cutting a promo, and I'm not gonna lie, I don't even remember what he said. It was weird.
He said, yeah, that's all you can say.
Yep. So they had a Final Testament promo, and they had Pride promo. So they had both had promos. I didn't really pay attention to either one. I mean, you know, it's like, this is going to be a match. This is going to be one of the matches that I'm going to be like, they might have something cool that happens, but it's like, it's just a match. It's a match.
I'm not even missing that match at all, to be honest with you.
Me neither. Like I said, they're going to have to do something like really crazy to like get me invested, but yeah.
Yeah.
So once again, we had a match with no finish because Jay and Solo wound up no finish because Jimmy came in, and then all of a sudden Seth came out and Cody came out for the save, and they did this big beat down. They beat down Jimmy, and they said Jay's going to beat him, and Cody said, this is bigger than a story, and he's going to beat Roman at WrestleMania. And the show went off there.
Cody hit a super kick at one point. I don't know why he fucked me up.
He can do super kicks. So
I know, but for some odd reason, like, it fucked me up like, in the head. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah. So the Hall of Fame happened. And
yeah,
there's nobody in the whole entire world as good as fucking Paul Heyman.
100%.
They were chanting, "You deserve it," and he goes, "Of course I fucking deserve it." It was like, oh my god, he was not holding back. He was cursing. He was saying every fucking thing, and he basically said,
"Beat him in there at one point."
Yeah, because they were like, "Fuck it." They were like, "You know what? Fuck it." And then he totally went there. He was like, "Yo," he was like, "Everything is better." He was like, "We have freedom. The guys have more creativity to become superstars in this." And he was like, "It is all thanks to Paul Levesque." And he was like, "From this day forward to the day I die, I am a Paul Levesque guy." And I was like, "What the fuck?" Like, it wasn't because of, like, damn. Like, it wasn't because it shocked me. It was like, this is the first time he literally said it out loud. Because, like, he said it in a tweet earlier when they were on the ladder at, in a fucking ring, and they were just sitting there talking. Like, we all know, because this is Triple H's first Hall of Fame. This is the first one that he gets to do his own self. And he asked Paul, and Paul never wanted to go in. He never wanted to go in the Hall of Fame. And Triple H asked him, and he said, "You know what? Because we're so close and I love you, I'm going in." And that's why he's in. Like, this was all asked. Yep, all because Triple H asked. And he really meant exactly what he said. And he said, Roman said the day that the wise man leaves is the day that he's no longer the tribal chief. And I'm like, that's not ominous at all.
Right?
Like,
a Paul Levesque chant?
Yeah. Like, and the funny part is, like, when that was happening, you can see Paul just, like, go, "Yeah, I don't want the recognition." And Stephanie was there, and Stephanie had the ECW hat from when she was in ECW. And I'm like, dude, that's actually cool. Like, that was real cool. Like, that was a throwback. Like, as soon as I seen her with the hat, I was like, oh my God, she put on the ECW hat. And Paul Heyman.
You heard Paul say, like, you married the wrong Paul.
Yes. That was funny. Like, he was so good. He buried WCW. He was talking about everything, how he got high with RVD and the whole ECW, and how he's still going to change and be a disruptor in the whole entire wrestling world. And it's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure you are.
High, but
yeah, like, he was going, and it was like, it was one of the best promos, and I'm like, I'm trying not to be biased because of my ECW love, but it was like one of the best promos ever. It literally was one of the best.
The one part that shocked me that I didn't know, think he was going to do at all, he mentioned Brock Lesnar.
Yes.
Kind of hurts to do that.
like that was a shock. But I feel like it's because of the rules that are so lax, and it's like, oh my god, like, yeah, you can just say whatever the fuck you want to say, and it was just like, yeah, wow. But like, that was great. Everybody went in.
I was almost, like, in tears. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, because he's fucking Paul Heyman. He's like the greatest person in the world. Like, he's like, he's awesome. Tommy Dreamer was there. Bully Ray was there.
RVD
was there.
Were there too.
Mm-hmm. I was shocked that Taz wasn't there. I was literally shocked because Taz wasn't there. Because, like, I know, like... Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised someone banned him from being there. I'm just saying.
I mean, if that happened, that would be really dumb. But, like, you know, like, we could have just let him show up. It's all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, like, that was, like, one of the most memorable Hall of Fame. There was other people, but, like, that one was the most memorable.
Yeah. I like the rest. Like, to me, every single one almost put me to tears. Like, for real, for real. Even the one guy that I didn't know, like, his speech, like, I liked it a lot.
Thunderbolt Patterson?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was good, because, like, I heard a couple people go, dude, I see why people think that he's, like, one of the greatest promos. It's like, I see why they stole him. Like, yeah, he's really good. Like, he's a great promo.
He did promo on, like, God, and I'm like, mm-hmm. Okay.
Because, like, he's a pastor now. So yeah. Because that didn't shock me, because I was like, oh, he's a pastor. He's just, like, doing pastor stuff. But yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Even Bull Nakano.
Said everybody, like, need to love each other. Mm-hmm. Bull Nakano's was good, too.
Yeah, she cut a promo, and Asuka, Kyrie, and Io were just, like, in tears. And I know people are like, that's kind of racist, because they're just, no. They literally came up under her, and they, like, looked at her as a legend, because they were all in Japan, and she was, like, the person. And they, like, they looked up to her, so they was, like, so them getting to see her and be up close and personal and meet her was, like, a dream for her. Because, like, last year when Asuka met, like, fucking Great Muda, she was like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. And now when she meets Bull Nakano, she's like, oh my god. She was like, this is just so awesome.
And bucket list fulfilled.
Yes, it was so good. And Rossi O'Gal was me, backstage.
I kind of got sad, because, like, not sad, but, like, kind of teary-eyed, because, like, she mentioned fucking Luna Vachon and whatever. Like, and she, like, almost cried about that. Like, wow.
Yes. And I want to say that the reason Luna Vachon wears the makeup that she wears is because of Bull Nakano. Like, I really think that that's true. Like, she wears it because of Bull. And, like, she's great. And the funniest part is, like, I keep forgetting how tall Medusa is, because they took a picture backstage and Medusa is, like, fucking 6 feet tall. I'm like, why did I never notice she was tall?
You know, she still wrestles?
Yeah, she does. She's still cool. But, yeah, the Hall of Fame was great. Next year is probably going to be really good, too.
Yep.
But, so, we got WrestleMania and stuff, so we need to do the predictions, because we haven't done the predictions. And we're going to start with Stand and Deliver. And Sean Spears versus Joe Gacy. Who you got?
Sean Spears, because he still got there. He's going to have some momentum behind him for a while.
You know what? I'll go with that. And then we have Thea Hale, Fallon Henley, Kalani Jordan versus JC James, Kiana James, and Izzy Dame. Who you got?
The whole story is, like, Thea trying to prove herself, like, she's grown and all this shit. So Thea's going to, like, get the fall for her team.
Okay.
And she's going to be JC.
Okay. I could agree with that. But before I move on, I have to point out the one thing that popped me with, like, these women. So Kalani Jordan, so she was at Wale Mania, and she met Jazz. And because, like, she's... like, she's a fan of wrestling, and she's like, wanted to meet Jazz. She was like, oh, that's cool. But she also got to meet somebody else. And it was, like, really fun. She got to meet RVD, and she popped because she's a huge fan of RVD. And if you watch most of her matches, you can see, like, she does RVD shit. And she met RVD, and she's, fucking marked out. Because she was like, oh, my God, I met RVD. I was like, that's so cool. That's so cool.
That's awesome.
So then we have the War Dogs versus Nathan Frazer and Axiom.
War Dogs, all the way.
No, I got new tag team champions, Fast and the Furious.
At least you gave them a name, shit.
So then we have Oba Femi versus Dijak versus Josh Briggs. Who you got?
I have a pick, but it's with a catch, a caveat, right?
Okay.
Oba Femi's winning. He's kicking both their ass, right?
Yep.
But you're going to get your wish, and these two motherfuckers are going to, like, beat his ass and start teaming up from them on.
That's exactly my pick. That's exactly what I was going to say. Because I feel like that's going to happen.
Would you call them the Skyscrapers 3.0? Because they're actually 3.0, if you think about it.
Yes, the new Skyscrapers. So then we have Lyra Valkyria versus Roxanne Perez. Who you got?
Roxy with some fuckery. I don't know what, but I feel like it's going to be like a fuck finish. And she's gonna win.
I still got Lyra. I got Lyra.
You got Lyra?
Yeah. So, in the co-main event for the title, for no goddamn reason, Ilya Dragunov versus Tony D'Angelo.
Okay. In the non-main event title match, because I'm not even considering it the main event, because what the fuck? I'm going with fucking Dragunov. Like, I don't see the point to this.
I'm going the opposite. I'm going with Tony D for no fucking reason. Oh. I feel like he might win.
Oh shit. You know how he might win? Mm-hmm. Remember, he's the Don, and that he controls everything. He might buy off the fucking ref.
True.
How you doing?
So in the real main event, Trick versus Mello, who you got?
Whoop that Trick. Whoop that Trick.
Yes, I'm going with that too. I'm going with Trick.
Yes. Yes, because technically Carmelo is a SmackDown guy right now. Because he appeared there a few times. So this is going to be his swan song. I know Trick's supposed to be going up eventually too, but they haven't really shown him off like that. Maybe he had one appearance, that's it.
Yeah. I'm going with Trick too. So that's our stand and deliver predictions. Now, night one of WrestleMania starts off with Rhea versus Becky. Who do you have?
Rhea to, like, cement her legacy. Let you beat everybody.
Same. So then we have the ladder match, Judgment Day, DIY, Awesome Truth, New Day, A-Town Down Under, and New Catch Republic. Which two teams are going to win this?
Thank God you worded it that way. Thank you. So, okay. I have fucking Awesome Truth. I'm going to go with them winning the SmackDown Tag Team titles. Right? Okay. And then Judgment Day is keeping the Raw ones.
Okay. So, I'm going with Awesome Truth winning the Raw Tag Team titles. And I'm going with DIY winning a SmackDown tag titles.
Okay, cool.
And remember, these titles aren't going to stay the names that they are. They're going to get repurposed, and they're going to change the whole entire name of the titles. They're just going to, one's going to go on one show.
Similar to the other ones, World and WWE, I would assume.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah.
So then we have Rey Mysterio and Andrade versus Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio.
I think we already spoiled it earlier in the fucking show. Like, fucking Legado's winning this shit.
Yep. So Then we have Jimmy versus Jay. Who we got here?
My heart wants to say Jimmy because, like, I like him so much. I'm not such a big fan of Jimmy. I mean, did I say Jimmy and Jimmy? Of Jay. I'm a fan of Jay. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to have to go with Jimmy because this story's going to continue. They're going to have more than one match.
I'm going with Jimmy, too. Yeah. Jimmy needs to win because, like, Jimmy sucks and everybody loves fucking Jay. Jimmy needs this win.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then we have Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi versus Damn It Control. I mean, this is kind of obvious. Like, there's only one team that's going to win.
Basically, like, fucking, and there's so many reasons behind it. Mm-hmm. Bianca has feuded with Damage Control for, like, a couple years now, whatever. She needs her fucking win over them. Mm-hmm. Naomi just returned. You're not going to fucking, like, a squasher in a fucking huge match like this. You're going to make her lose here and there because she lost to fucking Tiffany not too long ago. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to, like, fucking, like, make her lose this huge match. And then you have Jade with her fucking debut match, mm-hmm. quote unquote, because, like, she was in Royal Rumble. Hell no, they're not losing. I'll put money on that shit.
Basically. Then we have Sammy versus Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. Who do you have winning?
Gunther, because of Gable. Gable's going to fuck him over.
Same. Then we have the night one main event, the Bloodline, Rockin' Roman versus Cody and Seth. Who do you have winning?
I think fucking, like, Cody and them are going to win, right? Mm-hmm. And then, like, you think there's not going to be no fuckery, but it winds up being fuckery and shit like that the next night? Because, like, it's supposed to be fair? But my heart wants to say, like, fucking Roman and them win because I want chaos, but I'm going to go with Cody.
I'm going with Roman and Rock winning. And, like, it has nothing to do with my prediction of the main event. Like, I just think that they're going to win because you'll hear my prediction and why I picked my prediction when we get to it. But, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I think Rock and Roman are winning. So that's night one. So night two, we have Seth freaking Rollins versus Drew McIntyre for the world title in the very first match.
Your winner, new champion, Drew McIntyre. The fucking hater of haters.
Yes, I think Drew McIntyre is definitely going to win. And he put out a TikTok with his wife, and they're coming out of their fucking hotel, and he's just saying hate, 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 and dancing. And then he makes it even worse because he has the camera view from behind him so you can see the back of his wife. And it's like, come on, dude. Like, of course we're going to hate you. Stop. Like, come on.
He's a fucking asshole.
Yes, and he's going to win that championship, and he's going to lose it in July. He's going to go to Glasgow and beat CM Punk, and then he's going to lose it in July to Sami Zayn.
Speaking of Punk, do you think he's going to, like, interfere in this match?
I really want him to interfere, because if he interferes and Seth loses, here's the little fun part. Seth's going to be mad at him, which mm-hmm. sets up him and Seth, which sets up more of a problem for him and Seth. But also, now he's going to go against Drew. So, yeah, I want him to do it, and Seth still loses. Yeah, I'm down with that.
Yes. Cool.
So then we have the Pride versus the Final Testament in a Philadelphia street fight.
Be honest with you, I don't care, but gun to my fucking head. Fucking the Pride, because they're good guys in this. Mind you, I like the Final Testament, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I was going to have the opposite reaction. I like the Pride, but I was going to go with the Final Testament.
Oh, shit.
So then we have L.A. Knight.
Yeah. That's what I got to say. I don't even want to finish it.
Okay, but he's facing AJ Styles with brand new music.
He losing with that brand new music?
That's fucked up, because I really want to hear the new music twice. But like, I think he's gonna lose too, but like, god damn it.
You'll hear it a second time on SmackDown.
Yeah. So then we have Logan Paul versus Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens.
Logan ain't winning and losing that shit.
Yeah, Logan's keeping it.
Yeah.
So then we have Io Shirai. I mean, Io Sky versus Bayley.
Same thing.
For the world title, who do you have here?
Bayley. Like, she needs a WrestleMania win.
Like, part of me is like, I want to agree with you, but she had a WrestleMania win. Like, her first WrestleMania, she won the world. She kept her world title. So,
oh, no, I know that. I'm just saying, win a title, though.
Yeah, part of me, like, feels like Io's going to win. Like, I don't know why. I feel like Io's going to win, and they're just, like, going to keep this feud going. But I would rather it end here. Not because it's WrestleMania, but I just would rather it end because I don't know how much longer they can drag this out and people would be more interested. Because, like, this ending here makes all the sense because people would be like, oh, you know what? Like, this was great. Like, oh, this is cool. Now they can go on to something else. Like, you keep it going for, like, another month, people will be like, you know what? I don't know if I really like this. And then, like, they start turning on it and they hate it. So instead of getting to them hating it, end it now and then start up two new feuds with both of them and then just go from there.
Exactly, because the only other way you could consider continuing it, if fucking Mercedes didn't sign to AEW and she would come here and help her and whatever. But, you know, she has no hope right now, so end it here. It's fine.
Because, like, I see them, like, doing a four-way with all of the girls versus Damage Control. I see that happening, but, like, then, like, once again, you don't go anywhere because it's just going to be like, oh, we're just going in a cycle because we're going to get back to EO versus Bayley in, like, a steel cage or, like, some kind of gimmick match. And you're like, okay, this is, like, dragging on a little too long. This would be the perfect time to kill it and then move on. And we could circle back to it. It's not like it's over forever. It's like you could circle back to it again, but, like, let Bayley win the title and end the story, and we just move on, and then we come back to it, and it's be a different type of story.
Yeah, let it breathe.
Yeah. So then we have the main event, Roman versus Cody. So
I don't know, to be honest with you. I've heard so many comments and whatever that make you think it's one way or another. Okay. Like Roman said he loses, he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Cody said if he loses, he might as well do commentary.
Yeah. So,
like, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, I'm going to go with Cody because what the fuck? No fucking reason.
Okay. So, I have an answer, too. I'm going with Cody. I'm going with Cody.
Okay.
Cody's going to win. So, yeah, that's it. I never said he's finishing the story. Cody's gonna win. He's not finishing the story. Like, it's not over. Like, that's the thing. We're getting a Cody win. He's going to pin him. He's gonna pin him after. It's gonna be some total fuckery, and Cody's gonna win. But holy fuck, it's not over because it's gonna be that moment. He's gonna win. The story is finished because he won. And I swear to God, this is going to be the best part because everybody's going to think he won the title. And he's going to be like, yeah, Cody won the title. No, he won the match. He didn't win the title. He's still not champion. He can't beat Roman. And it's like, well, like, I know some people are going to be mad, but if, like, I have faith in Paul, I have faith in them that they're going to fix this and go, he's not going to win here. He's going to win somewhere else. And this is also going to lengthen the story with the whole Rock thing, and it's going to make it better. like Cody wins by like DQ count out or like some fuckery, it's gonna make it a million times better. And everybody's gonna be like, holy fucking shit, dude. This is it. Everybody's gonna be like, this is it. This is the perfect thing.
Yeah.
Because it's gonna be funny because it's gonna be that moment once he wins and he doesn't win the title that everybody's gonna be like, boo! And then like after it like sinks in, they're gonna be like, you know what? It's not a bad thing. Cause like when he lost the first time, they're like, it's a bad thing. And it's gonna sink in and it's gonna be like, it's not a bad thing, and it's gonna be fun. And I'm gonna be happy.
Me too. Me too. I like that.
So yeah, that's our picks. Finally, we did this. We finally did it. And people have been asking, dudes, when are you gonna do the predictions? We finally did it. We finally did it. It's here. It's over. And now we have to watch the show and see how it plays out.
Yes.
Yeah. This is going to be the part. So, yeah, we will, after WrestleMania Night 2, be back. So, yeah, any final words before we leave?
WrestleMania. I don't know.